When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In January 1887, a scrawny 60-year-old carpenter left his home in Rhode Island on a mission. Ansel Bourne had a derby hat on his head and over $500 cash in his pocket. And with that money, he was going to buy himself a farm. He first stopped at his nephew's store in Providence. He then stabled his horse and visited his sister in town. After parting with her, he walked on. But then something strange happened. On the corner of Dorrance and Broad Streets in town, a freight wagon suddenly crossed Bourne's path. And by the time it left the intersection, Ansel Bourne had vanished. A few days later, his family posted a missing person notice in the local paper. It described Bourne as an ex-preacher with gray hair and a scraggly gray beard. The notice also described Bourne as, quote, prone to attacks of a peculiar kind, which rendered him temporarily insensible. Basically, Bourne had amnesic fits. He would start walking somewhere a block or two away and would suddenly wake up 3 miles distant, having no idea how he'd gotten there. He also suffered from fainting fits, probably a euphemism for seizures. Still, the attacks never lasted long, and Bourne had certainly never vanished entirely. His horse remained stabled for 3 weeks while his family searched. Eventually, his nephew and sister swallowed hard and admitted what must have happened. With all that money on him, no doubt some drifter had attacked him and taken his life. And in a topsy-turvy way, the family was right. The same day Ansel Bourne disappeared, a drifter calling himself Albert Brown took a carriage from Providence to Pawtucket, then hopped a train to New York. He stayed a few days there in a hotel. 2 weeks later, Brown wandered down to Norristown, Pennsylvania, 20 miles outside of Philadelphia. He rented a room in the boarding house of a man named Pinkston Earle. Brown installed some furniture, divided his room into two with curtains, and opened a store in the front half. He sold candy, toys, nuts, and dime goods. His biggest seller was toffee. Some locals found Brown peculiar to talk to. He wasn't quite all there. But most ignored him. He kept to himself, usually cooking steak or ham in his back room for dinner. No one really talked to Brown, and they certainly didn't ask him about Ansel Bourne. But if they had, they would have learned some peculiar things. Like the fact that Bourne and Brown shared a birthday, July 8, 1826. Brown's wife had also died the same day as Bourne's first wife. And like Bourne the ex-preacher, Brown had studied theology and had gray hair and a scraggly gray beard. As you have probably guessed by now, this man, Albert Brown, was in fact Ansel Bourne. But this wasn't an alias or a scam. Not even Ansel Bourne realized who he was anymore. That's because Bourne was suffering from something called a memory fugue, a bizarre psychological disorder that wipes out people's autobiographical memories. In short, these people are sort of like real-life zombies. As we'll see, they can still function in daily life, but they have no inner life, no soul. And it's only recently that scientists have started to understand what on earth is going on inside their brains. From the Science History Institute, this is Sam Keen and the Disappearing Spoon, a topsy-turvy, science-y history podcast, where footnotes become the real story. Psychologists don't know how common memory fugues are, but one estimate holds that roughly 1 in 100,000 people seeking help for mental disorders have them. Fugues appear in cultures worldwide, and they usually strike people in their 20s or 30s. There are two main symptoms of fugues. First, people suddenly feel their inner self dissolving away. Second, people feel an overpowering urge to flee their lives. Let's look at each symptom in turn. The dissolving of the self happens fairly quickly, maybe over a minute or two, and people know it's happening, a sort of premonition or aura. One victim I talked to had time to say stop to herself, and she struggled hard to retain her identity. But it dissolved anyway until she forgot who she was. These breaks are usually triggered by stress. With the woman I just mentioned, she'd been at dinner with her son and the son's boyfriend. During the meal, the son mentioned some private details about the woman's father, who was a violent alcoholic who'd nearly killed her mother. The woman considered those details a family secret, and she felt hurt and betrayed when the son mentioned them in front of outsiders. This caused her to snap, and she lost herself. The stress facing Ansel Bourne from Rhode Island was theological. As a young man, he'd been a flagrant atheist. He even gambled and played cards on Sunday just to spite the Lord. But one Sunday, he hallucinated a voice from the clouds. It asked him to attend chapel. Bourne sneered at the very idea. "I would rather be struck deaf, dumb, and blind," he said. A minute later, he got his wish. God struck him blind, deaf, and mute. After a harrowing few days, God restored Bourne's senses. And Bourne was so awestruck and thankful that he dedicated his life to preaching the gospel. He spent several decades roaming around and testifying. But then Bourne married. This was his second wife, his first having died years before. And for health reasons, his new wife demanded that he stop traveling so much. He was running himself ragged. Bourne did stop, but the guilt of stopping, of neglecting his duty to preach, precipitated his crisis. Other fugue victims also experience severe stress before their breaks. Most often this is a result of violence or severe financial strain. And this stress seems to explain the biological basis of fugues. Stress can flood the brain with hormones called glucocorticoids. This flood of hormones then results in a so-called neurotoxicity cascade. In short, this neurotoxicity cascade overwhelms certain structures in the brain, including the hippocampus, which is crucial for storing and retrieving memories. But it's not just the hippocampus. Memory does not reside in one single spot in the brain. Many different parts work together to produce memories. And a neurotoxicity cascade seems to disrupt the crosstalk between those different parts. The result is amnesia. Overall, some psychologists view fugues as a defense mechanism. They're like a mental circuit breaker. Just like an electrical circuit breaker protects your home from surges of electricity, the fugue mental circuit breaker protects people from severe stress by shutting memory networks down. Afterward, the self dissolves, and people no longer know who they are. And after the self dissolves, the second symptom takes over, the desire to flee. The word fugue, in fact, means flight. The initial dissolving of the self can be scary for fugue victims, but the desire to flee is often happy, even euphoric. That's because, by fleeing, people feel like they're leaving all of their problems behind. They're totally free now, and they enter a sort of manic state. They usually have boundless energy, too, and they burn that energy off by staying in constant motion. Some fugue victims walk for hundreds of miles at a stretch and get huge blood blisters on their feet. Others suffer terrible sunburns, but they don't notice or care. They're just so happy to be free. Some victims come back to themselves within days or weeks. Other fugues last for years, even decades. And while some victims never leave town, others flee to entirely different countries. In cars and boats, on bicycles and trains. A few have crossed whole oceans. One woman in New Zealand finally had to put a wildlife tracking collar on her husband, the kind that biologists use to track migratory birds and mammals. She'd seen one in a nature documentary, and whenever her husband fled after that, she simply got online to track him down. The most famous fugue victim in history is probably a fictional character, Jason Bourne of the Bourne Identity books and movies.
Where am I?
That fishing boat. You were in the water. We pulled you out.
What water?
What's your name?
I don't know.
Jason is, of course, named after Ansel Bourne.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But other fugue cases have popped up in the news, and a closer look at those cases can reveal some interesting things about how memory works inside our brains. In 2008, a ferryboat captain near Staten Island spotted some brown hair bobbing in the water. He hurried over and pulled out a 23-year-old New York school teacher named Hannah Upp. After being rescued, Upp had no idea who she was or why she had been swimming. At the hospital, she was then confused as to why her family seemed so happy to see her. They explained that she'd been missing for 3 weeks. Using security cameras around New York, police later tracked Upp's movements during her fugue. Remarkably, she had purchased coffee at Starbucks, showered at her gym, and logged onto her email account at an Apple store. But if Upp could not remember something as basic as her name, how could she remember how to order coffee or check her email? The solution to this mystery lies in the fact that our brains actually contain different types of memory. One type is called semantic memory. Semantic memories involve basic facts about the world and how it works. For example, that Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president, or that Starbucks sells coffee. There's nothing personal about these memories. They're just facts. There are also muscle memories, which involve physical actions, like riding a bike or signing your name. These types of memories can overlap, but the key point is that each one relies on distinct brain circuits. So you can lose one without necessarily losing the others. And this distinction between different types of memory helps shed light on what happened to Hannah Upp. Although she had forgotten herself, she could still order coffee and do other routine tasks. That's because the fugue had left her semantic and muscle memories intact. I mean, how often do we sign our names or type in our passwords without really thinking about what we're doing? On the other hand, personal memories meant nothing to her. For instance, when Upp read the messages in her inbox, several were begging to know where she was, but they simply did not register with her. Other fugue victims forget their pets' names or the smell of their newborn children. Some can't even recognize photos of themselves. Unfortunately, there is no standard treatment for fugues. Therapists have tried hypnosis, electroshock therapy, and drugs, all to no avail. Sometimes patients snap out of it themselves without any treatment at all. That was the case with Ansel Bourne. Remember that he'd moved from Rhode Island to Pennsylvania. He was living there as Albert Brown and selling candy. Well, one morning at 5 a.m., Brown heard a bang, like a pistol firing. He started awake and was suddenly Ansel Bourne again. The bed felt alien to him, with a ridge digging into his back. He then noticed electric lights outside and realized that he had somehow fallen asleep in a stranger's room. Bourne was terrified. Would the stranger come home soon? Would they beat him bloody? He huddled beneath the covers, waiting for the occupant, or the police, to barge in. After 2 hours, he finally screwed up the courage to peek into the hallway. Then he crept down the hall and risked knocking on someone's door. It happened to be his landlord, Pinkston Earl. Bourne asked Earl what day it was. The 14th, Earl replied. Bourne was baffled. He asked, "Does time run backwards here? When I left home, it was the 17th. Earl asked, "The 17th of what?" Bourne said, "The 17th of January." Now it was Earl's turn to be baffled. He said, "It is the 14th of March." Bourne gasped. By this point, Pinkston Earl was thinking his tenant had gone a little soft in the head, so he summoned a local doctor. But under questioning, Bourne insisted he was not Albert Brown. The doctor soon sent a telegram to Bourne's family, who had long given him up for dead. A few days later, they were reunited. All in all, a fairly happy ending. Unfortunately, not all fugue cases end so happily. After the teacher Hannah Upp vanished in New York City, she moved to Maryland, where she disappeared again in 2013. Police did locate her that time. But then she took a job at a Montessori school on the island of St. Thomas in the Caribbean. In 2017, Hurricane Irma swept across St. Thomas and devastated it. Shortly afterward, Upp went swimming one morning and never returned. A construction crew later found her clothes and keys abandoned on the beach. No one knows what happened. Perhaps she was swept out to sea or mugged. But given her history, it's more than possible that the stress and devastation of the storm ignited another fugue. Friends of Upp's plastered St. Thomas with posters of her, both to alert others and possibly jog her own memory in case she recognized herself. But Hannah never turned up. Despite several well-documented cases, some psychologists do not believe in fugues. One red flag is the fact that fugue victims can easily form new memories. That normally doesn't happen with amnesia, since most amnesiacs cannot form new memories. Also, regular amnesiacs almost never recover lost memories, but fugue victims can, which raises suspicions. Instead, these psychologists suspect that fugues are an elaborate deception. And, to be fair, people have been caught faking fugues in the past to get out of crimes or debts. But most psychologists argue that, however rare, fugues are real. In fact, some psychologists see fugues as extensions of the sort of temporary, everyday amnesia we've all experienced before. Think of sleepwalking, or an alcoholic brownout, or intense daydreaming. Or even those times when we're so absorbed in something we miss our bus stop or our exit on the highway. Fugues are more extreme, obviously. But perhaps we all have a capacity for fugues buried inside of us. If nothing else, this strange disorder provides a glimpse of how our brains produce our sense of self, and of just how scarily fragile that essential part of us can be. This is the Disappearing Spoon podcast, brought to you by the Science History Institute. Find out more about their library, museum, and multimedia magazine at sciencehistory.org. Make sure you check out the Science History Institute's other awesome podcast, Distillations. You can find their in-depth narrative stories and interviews about everything from space junk to sex, drugs, and migraines anywhere you get your podcast, and on their website, distillations.org. You can find more incredible stories from my books at samkeen.com. You can also book me as a speaker at your school or event. If you like this podcast, please support it at patreon.com/disappearingspoon. It costs as little as 7 cents per day. You can also get bonus episodes and signed books. Please spread the word to others as well, and subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, or other places. This episode was written by me, Sam Keen. It was mixed by Jonathan Pfeffer and produced by Mariel Carr and Rigoberto Hernandez. Thanks for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.